Well, praise God. Let's get at what the Lord has brought us here for, His precious word. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles. Going back to the 24th chapter of Genesis, and I'm grateful to God there's this sweet brother in the Lord that works at one of the banks, and God willing, I'm hoping he'll feel well enough to come and join us soon. Gave him a few of these discs, and I hadn't seen him since I'd handed him those. And they were busy kind of at the bank, and I saw him this earlier this week, and I was making a deposit, and I was going to go, and he calls me over. He says, "Oh, Jesse, don't go." And I looked at him, and his eyes were just, they were just lit up. He said, "Oh, I see something in there." He says, there's more. So you pray for Brother Sean. He's a sweet fella, and I know he'd be encouraged to meet you all, and but what a treasure. And praise the Lord how, you know, he really loves us. And how he's bringing it out more and more. And, you know, it's always been there. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I'm grateful to God. We are just ignorant enough, aren't we, to say, "Lord, overflow us. Let your Holy Ghost, let that servant take us all the way." Praise be to God. Now, last week, we went from the 54th to the 59th verse. I can't imagine we got so far. But this is the journey to the bridegroom. And I am thankful to Jesus how sweet this precious proposal is going out to us at this time. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that it's something we hear daily. If it's not, I believe our love will wax cold. God help us to truly, as brother was saying here, you know, to endure with joy. We know these things God said would come to pass in our lives, that it's a joy to suffer with Jesus. It's required. It's a wedding gift, matter of fact, as he calls them, if you really look at that. He's bestowing it upon the ones that love him, that have taken the love of God and are filled with that love. And God help us to have a joyful heart in the ultimate purpose and plan of God, that there is going to be a wife for the master's son. Praise God. So here it is. And last week, we saw that as this sweet sister received the proposal, as she was excited to go, and as the family understood about this and said, "Oh yes, that's fine. We think this will be a grand match for her." But they wanted her to delay a little bit. But that wasn't going to happen because the Holy Ghost says, "Let me tell you something. You delay it all and you're going to hinder it. You're going to hinder me. You're not going to hinder this because we got to go. My master's son needs a wife and I am here to bring her back now. So she must go now. To run to win him must begin now. There cannot be any delay." And this sweet Rebecca, and I love her name, Fat Sheep. Praise God. It's okay. We can, I hope in love, call one another fat sheep. Remember to put sheep in there. All right. Proclaims by grace alone. She does, and it is all by grace. She says this, "I will go." Grace touched her heart, didn't it? And grace touched your heart. And what grace touched your heart with was the great love of the bridegroom. That's why you come on a Wednesday night to hear this. It's the grace of God that touched you with the love of God. To see this, to have the eyes of our understanding enlightened that this is it. There is nothing that's even worthy to be uttered along with this. This is the purpose. Praise God. I pray our hair is standing up all over our body right now. And praise God, she's ready to go. And that's the way it is. But let's jump right in, 60th verse. And here's the family. As they have agreed now, well, if they've agreed or not, she's going. But I think they've accepted the fact, let's put it that way. And it says, "And they blessed Rebecca," her family, they blessed her. "And said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Now, brothers and sisters, you talk about prophecy. This is it. This is mighty, what's continuing to transform in this precious truth of what's being worked in our lives. And by God's grace, even what's to come, God is shining some light on here. But let's begin with, they blessed her. And as prophecy always does, brothers and sisters, it blesses us. Because true prophecy is always the word of God. I see people getting off on what they think prophecy is. Most people think prophecy is fortune telling. I don't need any of that. I don't want any of that. I have all the prophecy I need. From Genesis to Revelation. That's my prophecy. That's your prophecy. And I'm thankful to God it's coming forth. Now, this word blessed, it means adored. And they adored Rebecca. I love that. And I think about how that pattern over and over throughout the Word of God, when it brings out the bride, when it brings out that precious type of the virtuous woman, the one that, praise God, will go after him, the one that will be the bride, the Lamb's wife. And let's go to some of those examples and see how they adored her. I think of Ruth. Let's turn over to Ruth. In chapter 4, verse 11, at the end of that precious story, as she has been taken to wife by Boaz. And here was this one, again, that was, in a sense, overlooked, just as Esther in a lot of ways as well, too, that little orphan. But in the 11th verse of the 4th chapter of Ruth, it says, "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem.'" You think of how this one that wasn't any part of them, praise be to God, how she becomes the wife and they adore her. They bless her. Think of over here in Proverbs 31. And I'm sure you're very familiar with this, brothers and sisters. But in Proverbs 31, where it speaks of that virtuous woman. And in the 29th verse, it says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all." And isn't that precious? Because in the 28th verse, here's what comes. "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." My goodness, I'll tell you, that husband sure loves that wife, doesn't he? And I pray that as the Lord, again, by his grace is growing you up, you hear the encouragement of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, truly praising, again, his grace in us. I'm so thankful that I can hear the voice of my Lord thanking, again, the Godhead for that wonderful power of the Holy Ghost that is growing us up into him in all things. And then in Song of Solomon chapter 6, if you go to verse 9, and again, this is of the Shulamite, it says, "My love and my undefiled is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her." You see over and over this precious pattern that goes forth. These ones that are magnified by God's grace throughout the Old Testament. This is the bride, the Lamb's wife. This is the type. This is the shadow. This is what's coming forth. And praise God how the family of God takes note. And the family of God and those that are close with her are so thankful. Let us be glad and rejoice. Amen. The marriage of the Lamb has come. The wife hath made herself ready. You think there's a rejoicing about to happen? Do you think there's a rejoicing that's even happening right now? You know what? Come on. This is an exciting time. Think about this servant we've been reading about all the time. How he just bowed down and worshiped all the time. Thank God. I got her. She's coming with me. Praise be to God. See, I told you it's just hard to go on here, isn't it? There's so much, but praise the Lord how he does it. Now let's go over to the New Testament. Think about how God expresses this joy of all creation for this incredible bride, this wife that's going to be brought forth. In Romans chapter 8, confident many of you knew we were going here. And in the 19th verse of Romans, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," that's all of creation, "waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." There's a groaning going on. Praise God. "For the manifestation of the sons of God to be brought forth." Then think of over here in Revelation chapter 3. Go on over there. And obviously we go to the church of Philadelphia. That wonderful church, the only one that we see is kept from the hour of temptation. The only church that's kept from, spared from the tribulation. I wish people would wake up to this, how evident the word of God is that she will come out of that body. She's a rib. Adam was sleeping. The church is sleeping. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about it very clearly. And praise be to God, she's coming out. But over there in chapter 3, in verse 9, he says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." You talk about somebody that's going to be adored and known that she is adored. This is no private thing. All will know. She's it. Praise be to God. Over and over she is adored because she is the glory of man. She is the glory of the Lamb. Keep going over in Revelation. We're not done yet. 21st chapter, verse 9. I'll let you get there. And I know you might know it in your head, but praise God. Let him just speak it in your heart again tonight. 21:9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show ye the bride, the Lamb's wife." Come on, there it is. I'm going to show her to you. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." They're all going to take note of her. He's in awe as he even watches and is just, remember, it's, well, we're going to have to be there, aren't we? My words just failed, so we'll just stop there, praise God. 23rd verse, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." You talk about the lights of life. Those two just light each other up. Beaming, beaming, beaming. And he's doing it right now in her. You know that. That's why, praise God, I am so thankful that God is transforming us from glory to glory. We're becoming like Him. We're going up into Him in all things. I'm thankful to God that the saints are beginning to rejoice, watching that transformation come forth and rejoicing that God is doing His precious work. The Word of God is being worked in all of its fullness in the saints that want Him to do this, and it's so precious. Now let's go back to Genesis 24. Now, the prophecy, 60th verse, they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Now, this is wonderful, brothers and sisters. She's their sister. They know that. But it goes on to say, "Be thou the mother of thousands of millions." And I think, praise God, even what's to come with this wife and her husband. What's to come in the exceeding riches of His grace? My, oh my. My mind and heart's just left the building. Praise the Lord. We know, as it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for them that love Him." And I'm thankful to Jesus for this. But here you see It says, and let the seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Now, I think about this. This is such a sweet and lovely and beautiful woman. You think, now, who would hate her? Who would hate anything that would come forth out of that? Well, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that hate grace. They do. Because you'll never have grace without Jesus. And you're either for him or you're against him. And it's inevitable. It will come forth. War is in the heart of man. I don't care how much education you think that's going to get that out of you. Matter of fact, it'll only grow it up into you more. And that's the truth. The more educated that man has become, the more intelligent, in a sense, they think in their own minds, the more destructive that man becomes all and every moment. And we know it. But God shortened those days, brothers and sisters. There would be no flesh left on this earth. As the Word of God says, he sees heaven, he sees earth rocked to and fro like a drunken man. One battle, a third of man is going to be taken out. It's here. There isn't a weapon that's ever been made. I mean, there are some now, but even up to the point through World War II and all of that, that has not been used. They're not doing things just for energy and electric power. They're not. And we're not either. Know these things. Don't fool yourself. That's why you better look into the Word of God, or you would be weirded out all the day long, wouldn't you? Yeah. See? This is it. You're either going to be one way or the other. You're either going to be completely despair, or you're going to be as excited as you've ever been. And look every day into the Word of God and say, oh, Jesus is coming. Praise His name. Now, notice here. When she unites with the husband, and we got to kind of move along here. When she unites with her husband, she becomes here in this 60th verse. They say, be thou the mother of thousands and of millions. When she gets there, praise God, there's this mothering, there's this nurturing, praise God, that this readied wife has. The truth and love will have grown so much in this precious vessel, brothers and sisters, but she's filled with nothing but grace. She's a fountain of grace. So like him, the word vessel is a vessel adding to the use of the husband. Adding to the use, praise God. And that's how she is right now. The fruit that abounds from her, praise be to God, all because of his grace. And notice it's so incredible to think of the exceeding riches of his grace again that will come forth out of her all because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. And you see, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what his glory is. His glory is his grace. His glory is his grace. Grace always comes first. You'll never have glory without grace. And he is grace. He is grace. And praise be to God. His glory is all because of his grace. Amen? That's why he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're vessels prepared afore unto glory. The only thing that we were really prepared for and made for, truly, and they were the only thing that ever was, God's intention was to be filled with all the fullness of God. And all the fullness of God is Jesus. And Jesus is all grace. And all Jesus can be is all glorious. Praise be to God. How perfectly simple it is. But that's why grace is always first, brothers and sisters. She is such a masterpiece of his grace. Matter of fact, she's the masterpiece of his grace because she is his glory. She's the glory, as we read, that descends from heaven having the glory of God. She's got it all. But notice here as well, too, it's mighty beyond. As it goes on in the 60th verse, it says, her seed, her fruit, Christ in her, the hope of glory, will possess the gate of all of them that hate them. And I love that. Think about that prophecy right there. And I want you to go with me about thinking about this fruit that comes out of this precious one. Go back to Revelation in chapter 15. And we're going to read about this. And what I'm talking about and what the Lord was emphasizing on my heart is, honey, you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. You suffer together with me, you're going to rule and reign jointly together with me. You're going to be glorified together with me. This is my plan. Lord, I'm so thankful. I just want to be with you. But you got plans. Praise be to God. You have got plans. Well, praise God. He allows us to see some of this ruling and reigning jointly with him. He allows us to see some of this fruit, this adding to the usefulness of the husband that he is going to use this precious wife for, those four living ones. And in the 15th chapter of Revelation, it says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues." I mean, this is the wrap-up right here, brothers and sisters. This is Armageddon time a-coming. "For in them is filled up the wrath of God." So here we have those seven messengers, and praise be to God, they have these vials that they're going to be pouring out. "And as I saw it, were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." What a group they are, huh? Praise God. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are the ways, thou King of saints." Boy, that is a precious company, but they sure have a different song than the bride here. But what a precious company. Now keep going. "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after this I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven, it was opened. And the seven angels came out of that temple, having the seven plagues." Again, and these are those messengers. And praise God, again, another representation of that precious bridal company. A lot of folks won't think of that in a lot of ways, but God continued to draw our hearts into this. But even more so, we're going to read about these four beasts, because you're going to see something here that's awful mighty. "And they have the seven plagues clothed in pure white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts," notice who gives this all to them. Here's the bridal company right here, brothers and sisters, those four living ones, "gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever." Now, go back and think what we read, that she will take those that hate them. She will possess that. Let me tell you something, judgment's coming. And it was always there, and that plan is always being poured forth, brothers and sisters. But here is the evidence of it in its completion. But I love verse 8 as well, too. I think that's my favorite of the whole thing. "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God." See, those angels left, and all that was left there in that temple, praise God, was the glory in him. Smoke got in there so thick again and from his power that no man was able to enter that into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So I guess that's just some spiritual thinking and praise God meditation I have with the Lord about, oh, what's to come to be alone with Jesus. Praise his name. All right, but I pray that that encourages you there, brothers and sisters, in that 60th verse, as we see again so clearly that she is going to be used of the Lord. The armies of heaven, it says, come with him. And I'm so thankful that, again, she is ruling and reigning with him. And I can see that brought out so clearly in this 60th verse as it says, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Praise his name. Now going on to verse 61. "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Now this is so mighty, and brothers and sisters, there are three vital graces that must be lived and apprehended here, even before she goes on the journey. And you think about all of these verses that we've read in this chapter. I mean, this has been a lengthy proposal. This has been a lengthy story, and she hasn't even left yet. She hasn't even gone. All of this beautiful truth, all of this beautiful communion, all of this beautiful fellowship, all of this wondrous proposal. And that's what's so magnificent here, brothers and sisters. It's the word of the Lord. That's why that is so magnified. It's the message. It's the truth and love message. Embrace it. Rejoice in it. Don't be ashamed of it. Tell it over and over, just like has happened in this story. word for word almost, it comes out twice. And it's lengthy, isn't it? It's important. It's vitally important. This has been, again, opened up to us, brothers and sisters, the dispensation, that mystery in Christ, that chosen vessel, Paul. That veil, when it was written twain, oh my goodness, right into the throne room. Praise be to God. But in this verse, there are three vital graces that must be apprehended before she even goes on this journey. And as I just mentioned, you think about the journey. And I know that we've had some different studies about how long that distance was and how hard it would be and how why you need that camel to go across the desert and all the characteristics about the camel, and that was the only vehicle that could take you there and all these things. But you look at this story, brothers and sisters, and basically you've got one verse, and that's the verse we're in right now, that talks about the journey at all. And it's about a half a verse. Now, you can think a lot of things in that, and praise the Lord. I've heard people say, well, that was Paul's message that tells you all about the journey. Well, praise God, but all about the proposals in here too. And all that suffering, praise be to God, it's all throughout the Old Testament as well too. God testified to us in it, that suffer with me and reign with me, whether it was in David, whether it was in Daniel, whether it was in Esther, it's all there. We understand that. But the Lord was really dealing with my heart. And I believe it is so truly evident in Romans 8:18. I reckon that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen? That means it's not even worthy to be mentioned in the same subject. It's the proposal. And if you'll embrace that proposal, it'll just take you all the way along. And you won't even look down at the myrrh. And you'll be lighting off that camel. That's what His grace can do. That's what His grace can do. Oh God, sing that to our hearts. It's a light affliction. In light of what's coming, that exceeding eternal weight of glory. There's no reason really to talk about the journey. In light of that beautiful face, it goes so fast. Think about the precious type that was in Jacob. He was so in love with Rachel that he said, oh, I'll willingly give you 7 years, Laban. Just give me her hand. And that 7 years went by in a moment. And then he was even tricked. And I'm sure in some respects maybe he was mad and disappointed and angry and all that. But you don't read about that. You just read about, well, I get her, let's do another 70 times 7 times 7 times 7. Something about a 7 in there. Something about perfection. Something about the ultimate. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us not to stare at the myrrh in our hands and miss you tapping at the door. Amen? I'm tired of getting beat up by the watchman. Praise His name. Now, let's think about these three graces here in this 61st verse. Rebecca arose. There's a grace. Praise God. Now notice this, word arose, it means to stand. And brothers and sisters, we will never go into the bridegroom without a stand. You'll never go. Stand, withstand, and having done all, stand. Ephesians 6 brings that out so sweetly. You see, it's all ours, brothers and sisters. It is. I appreciate how brother prayed. Lord, this is your desire. This is your work. This is your will. You will do this. You will perform the good work. I'm resting in you. That's the grace of God. That's his absolute fervent love to us. But see, it is all ours. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. The battle has been won. I love how that calling I believe in the Word of God so much is. Stay with the stuff. Oh, I just got to go out there and battle. No, just stay with the stuff. The battle will come to you. It will. But you've already been given it. He said, walk all through the land. It's yours. Oh, but there's giants there. What did I say first? Walk all through it. It's yours. Doesn't matter what's there. I put them there. But remember, walk all through it, and it's yours. Amen. Praise God. See, those are the promises of God. They're yea and amen. And God help us with absolute full assurance of faith. We draw nigh believing. Unwavering in that confidence of the word of God that's for you. It doth not yet appear. Know that. I start looking with these eyes, and I'm going to get caught up into the it doth not yet appear. I'd rather go right to, but we know. Amen. We know. Come on now. We're the sons. Hallelujah. We're seated. And God, praise his name, he's going to have his way. And let's get excited about the way of God and the way he takes us, brothers and sisters. And I'm seeing that magnificent testimony. Again, it's all because of the grace of God. But I'm thanking the Lord in sweet Paula and sweet Sister Silva as well too, surely. There she is, the body continuing to shut down with that Lou Gehrig's, and yet that mind, praise God, stayed upon him. She's increasing at an increasing rate. I'm confident in the Lord. So thankful to God in the trying of our faith, which is more precious than gold, as we see these ones coming forth so mighty and majestic in the grace and glory of God. But brothers and sisters, it's wonderful because, see, we just stay with the stuff. We just stand in defense of the gospel. But notice here, we must stand. And stand, brothers and sisters, unwavering. See, by God's grace, it's said that those that are shook or rocked to and fro, it's because of every wind of doctrine. We need sound doctrine. We need his truth and love. We need the whole counsel of God. God help us to have that desire like a deer that pants for the water. To get into that. That there's nothing that satisfies but the whole counsel. Praise be to God. And Lord, do that in my life. If I'm waning a little bit cold, if my flame or my fervency is getting a little waning there, God, stir it up. Stir it up. And that's what he's all about. So again, listen to the word of the Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Brothers and sisters, you know when you get away from this message, you will grow cold. You grow weak. If you're not eating on meat, you lose strength. And that's the truth. You can have all the milk you want or think that's getting it done for you. But it won't. The meat of the gospel of Christ. He's given you a full set of teeth by his grace. Get in there and get it. Amen. And let's encourage us one another on, Lord, for more of an appetite for it. And then you think, as we're moving here, what a witness, as it says about these damsels in this 61st verse, the ones that adored her, these younger ones. God help us to be a testimony. See, this one's loving. She's got that grace, praise God, encouraging. And isn't it wonderful, the ministering of the saints? I love the word of God through the saints. It's so awesome. And it comes through not just word only, but in deed and in truth, praise God, as we go through these tests and trials, how it ministers, the cold cups of water, this rich supplying. But it says here again, she arose. And then the second grace is she rode her camel. So she arose and then she rode. And I love that. And praise be to God, the camel. That's our flesh. We've talked about it many times, but that's our flesh. Every detailed, brothers and sisters, downsetting and uprising is all right there. You've got it all. I think about some of these cars. You know, you can buy one off the lot, but you know, if you spend a whole lot of money, they'll even have one custom. This is like having a custom fit Ferrari. Can you imagine? Just a perfect length all the time for your arms. You have shorter arms or longer legs. It's just all perfect there. So now I'm talking about the Camel. It's got every perfect downsetting. It's got every perfect uprising. It's got every button it needs. Let's put it that way. Amen? Amen. Trust the Lord in this because, brothers and sisters, it is the only mode of transportation that's going to get you there. There's no other way. Mm-mm. It's got to be that way. And it must be brought, this Camel, this life, unto subjection. Now, what does that really mean? Lord, I got all these weaknesses. I've got temper. I've got no patience. I might be judgmental. I might be jealous. I might have all of these different things that are just attacking me all the time. Subjection. Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong. Lord, I'm trusting you. Stay with me on this. Lord, the power of love is even greater than the desires of my flesh. Did you hear that? The power of love is greater than the desires of my flesh. His love can sustain me. His love, by God's grace, can carry me through. Amen? Hasn't it done it over and over in your life, brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. And going on with that thought, see, the Camel, who I am in Christ. God help us to truly embrace that. And you hear that message preached over and over in this assembly. God help us to embrace that this is the only way. That you are wonderfully and fearfully made. Isn't that wonderful? You are. Praise be to God, so tailor-made for this wonderful journey that it's got to be Him that will perform the good work which He's begun. You can't perform a thing. You are absolutely built perfectly for weakness, infirmity, so that the very power of Christ can rest upon you. If you were any stronger, you couldn't go because you wouldn't be the power of Christ. The motivation by God's grace I want to give you is Jesus. Lord, it's got to be you. I'm leaning on you as we're coming out of the wilderness. You carry me all the way, praise be to God. Stay with it, and you're going to hear something here in a minute, and you're going to say, man, I believe God has just enlightened my eyes in this. It is. I am, praise God, His workmanship. Got to be that way. I'm just a little lump of clay. But what a precious lump we are to God. Hallelujah. But here we go. It says there, I am wonderfully and fearfully made for this journey, that He's going to perform that good work. And in that, brothers and sisters, that by God's grace, let it touch your life to be content and to be thankful for who you are in Christ. Amen. Everything about you, every downsetting, every uprising, God, I'm thankful. Amen. Does he make mistakes? He can't. He's perfect. He couldn't. He's always faithful. He will withhold nothing good from you. And that was at the very, beginning. I saw you in Christ. I saw you in Christ. How important was that to God? Nothing more important. Again, speaking the universe, speaking stars, but not with you. Not with you. And it wasn't the 40 or 50 or 80 or 90 years. He's been thinking about you in ages past. What a masterpiece. What a masterpiece. Only faith in the Word of God can have us see this. Come on. Thankful and content to the very most intimate detail of my life. that God has made me to be. All those things that I appreciate Brother Paul praying for about the thorn. I got a lot of them. Got a lot. But I'm learning to rest. I'm not worrying about the journey anymore. I'm not worrying about the thorn in the journey anymore. Because in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to see him. I know it says he's walking across the field here. But I got an idea he's going to start running. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, any other traits or personalities that we may covet in one another, any other camel that we think would be better suited for me to get there, it would fail. Amen. I told you so sweetly what the Lord divinely put in my heart, and it was so immediate. And it wasn't to be smarty, it was just to be thankful. The Lord called me to pastor here. And I appreciated, in a sense, what that person was saying because they admired and loved Brother Hill so much. Them some big shoes to fill, son. I'm not worried about those shoes because those were his. He's already given me my own. Amen? He's given you your own. That camel is absolutely perfect. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the oneness that we have in Christ, see? That's the oneness. Hallelujah. Now we'll close it up here quick. The third grace, it says, she followed the man. So again, she arose, she rode, and she followed the man. It's so simple. Only the Holy Ghost can guide you into all truth. That's it. Without the Holy Ghost, it will never. Well, the proposal won't ever happen and you won't go on. The love shed abroad in your heart. It's a love all the way. We know that that's what the Holy Ghost is. And praise God, if it's the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it's the only way, the Holy Ghost. There's no other way there. But then, at the end of that verse, I'm so thankful because here is all the comfort. It says, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. I love it. See, all she needed, all we need, was the willingness to go. It was the proposal all the way through. It's the word of the Lord, amen? And accepting and embracing that precious word. That was it. And it was grace that was required to do that. I hope you understand that. That wasn't even of your own. God, you had to give me the grace and open my heart to even believe this. But here's how mighty this is. He takes her. He takes her. The journey is all him. It's his love. It's the power of his might that took her. The servant took Rebekah, and praise God, how wonderful that is. And the word took, it literally means to take a wife. He took a wife. Let him take you. Isn't that wonderful? That's all the Holy Ghost can take is a wife. That's what he's about. He's not about anything else but to get the master's servant a wife. That's all he's going to deal with, brothers and sisters. That's what he's after. Don't hinder me. Isn't that wonderful? You embrace this because it's already got you. It'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I am here to bring the wife to the master's son. That's all I'm about, that singleness of purpose. And not only does this word took mean to take a wife, it also means snatched away. I love this. It means snatched away. It just gets better and better. The word of the Lord is so awesome. Plucked me out, snatched my affections away, and someday even caught up together. Remember that whirlwind? Well, that's a snatch. Praise be to God. Face to face when that trumpet blasts. And it finally says here as we close tonight, and he went his way. He went his way. Not your way. Not some theologian's way. He went his way. His way. And that's the only way it's going to be. And that's the only way He's going. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I pray that this is something that would be so true to us. I know that the way of man is not in himself. Get over you. Quit. Stop. Cease. Submit. I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And I believe this is my wife's favorite verses here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now praise God, that came out of the Old Testament. And what precious truth that is. But thank you, Jesus, for even the grace upon grace. How confident are we, brothers and sisters? Is it complete confidence? That's the apprehending, you see? Not that we've apprehended, but that's apprehending. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm confident in you. Lord, I know this is your plan. Lord, I know this is your desire. Take me all the way. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.